roasted for us. What a gracious thing. What a glorious thing. My God will do wonderful things again. If you know that God is going to do wonderful things for you this morning, lift up your voice and give him praise. Let us worship. Let us adore the only wise God, the ever faithful, the ever dependable, the reliable God, the Almighty, 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 the Almighty. Somebody needs to praise him this morning. For his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Deliver atua atua sote. Lembe like Susia Lepre Susia. Dollo Montro Susia Lepre Neno Suate. Dolly Crudu Susi Preneno Susie. Delle Preno Suso Proto Zazua. Ella Becchetto Soso Proto Susie. Leke Kekukutu Zosia. Le Prendoso Supriande. Le Cluto Zosia. The Lord that doeth wonderful things. Le Otua, wonderful deeds in righteousness. The Sopia on Throsto. Lord, unto you I praise, unto you I worship, unto you I glorify, unto you I honor. Le Sumindo, le Kekukutu Zosia Tua, le Kratu Zosi, du Susi Prenene Susia, le Plenge Kukutozo, Esusia Preno Suati. Endo che lubru zozie, e la pio otogo suate, e la makutu zozo prendere bo suzie, ende che libru zozuzo prodo bo suzie, le mengrete bo suzia, dolo bongra suzie. O God that doeth wonderful things, O God that doeth wonderful things, O God that doeth wonderful things, I praise and I worship. I adore you, the Almighty God. Lususi prononono susia. Delegetu kato susie. Ela mentruso su prononoso. Isopia androno custo susie. Ela balabroso sua. Esuso prondege kutu susia. Istondo loboru susiate. Ela mengroso su atuade. Leke kwa atua zoso prendene le kusotua. Obato wogbaro tiki beje. De lusu su prunadungo susia. The Lord that is worthy, marvelous are your works, O God. Lisusia, that my soul understand it so well. Lisusi prunano kusto zosie. Isopia atua zo. Some pull their trust in horses, some place their trust in chariots. Lord, my trust is in your God. My expectation is of the Lord, who is beautiful for situation, marvelous for words. Lo soprende che cucutuso, e labio otroso, e degege che libru sozia, e sotto ondoli che cucutoso. Esso prenderebo susie, illo mondro suso, so prenderebo suate, esso pronde che libru sozia, e la mondo go, mendo go go libru saate, mendo susie, e le mengre susia, do la mangra susia, le mengre susie, esso proto so suate, Isopia atuati, elamokoto suati. Amen. Zien grace, how sweet that sound that saved someone like me. I once was lost, but now I've found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to find grace. My relieved of precious is the grace up at the high I first believed. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's where I say, great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. 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 You are greatly to be praised. You are greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. You are greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. You are greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. You are greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Holy, holy God, almighty. It's a privilege to worship you, maker of the universe. It's an honor just to bow before you. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you, proclaiming, Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, I lift my voice to you, proclaiming, Lord, you reign. Are you, Lord? You are greatly to be praised. praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. You are greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. That's why, Lord, I worship you, Almighty God. There is no like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I love to do. I give you praise. Hallelujah. For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. Like you, there is none like you that deserves the worship. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
Yes, sir.
I can search for all it's Hallelujah. Worthy is your name. We worship your majesty. Teach me, Lord. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We're standing on of your my God, I bow and worship you. My God, I bow and worship. My God, I bow and worship you. 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 My God, I bow. And worship you. My God, I bow and worship you. My God, I bow and worship you, mighty God. My God, I bow and worship you. My God, I bow and worship you, Lord God. My God, I bow and worship you. Beloved, I don't know about you what the week was last week for you, whether your week was interestingly busy or light. Whatever your week was like, probably is slightly different from mine. Beloved, and so my week was interestingly busy. But I found myself Yesterday, I think I must have begged some people and told them, can you please, I want to sleep. I said, please, I want to sleep. I know I said, you should call me, but I need to sleep. Even if it is for 30 minutes, I need to sleep. Yeah, I slept. I think I didn't wake up until about 10:30. I don't know how long I slept for. But I've come to appreciate the gift of sleep. Not sleeping just for sleeping's sake. That even in our sleep, God can communicate with us. It is wonderful. To know that God will speak to us in all season, at all time. The sleep was not for long, but was very refreshing. But the sleep, every one of us, some has been in bed, some even right now need to have their 10 hours sleep before they get up. Because they cherish their sleep, the scientist says that the more hours you sleep, the more you are able to function. The word of the Lord says that God gives sleep. God gives sleep. God gives sleep. The giver of sleep is God. God gives sleep to those whom he loves. God gives sleep to those whom he loves. Even in the sleep, God's word is still working. Do you ever thought about it? God gives sleep. Psalm 127. Verse number 2. God gives sleep. The good thing about this is that not only does he give sleep, he that giveth sleep is the one that wakes up. He gives sleep. Everything about our life is centered around our Maker, the giver of it. Psalm number 23 said, he maketh to lie down. Many lie down, but they never slept. They lie down on their own. They don't know that he's the one that makes it to lie down. God gives sleep. the one who giveth sleep Beloved, I want you to think this morning so that you and I can offer unto God. Beloved, the praise and the honor that he deserves. The few, whatever number of time I slept for was refreshing, was renewing. God energized me. He quickened me. He woke me up. David will say in Psalm number 23, the Lord maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me. David was seeing what God does. You know, all this word of God, we trivialize them. We think, oh, it is just a memory verse. We taught our children, we were taught in Sunday school, even if you go to unbelieving school. It makes me to come to a place of rest, a green pastures of God. Yet it was the one that leads me. For you will hear the voice of the Lord behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He leadeth the steps of a good man. Are ordered by the Lord because he delighted in his way. He leads me beside the still waters. I hear the voice of the Lord behind me. Saying this is the way, whether to turn to the left or to the right. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He's the one that restored me. He revived my soul. Why does the soul need to be restored? be revived. It gives me strength. It gives me hope. My soul becomes hopeful again in my God. It renews my strength. Psalm 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He guides me. In the way that I should go. Because there are ways I am not supposed to take. He guides me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. Beloved, he doesn't just lead. This our God is our guide, and beloved, he is our God, and he shall be our guide forever and ever. He is my God, and he shall be my guide forever and ever. A guide is the one that walks alongside. A guide is the one that takes you to where he has already been. He shall be my guide. He shall be my guide. He shall be my guide. This God is our God. 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 And he shall be our guide even forevermore. He shall be our guide. This God. This God is our Father's God. Therefore, we will praise him. This God shall be our guide. Even forever and ever. This God is not just the God that makes me to lie down. It's not just the God that gives me sleep. It's the Almighty God, my God. Who is my God, my personal God? Who shall be my guide forever and ever? Total commitment. David begins to say something in the book of Psalm 48, and he said, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the old earth is Mount Zion on the site of the northern city of the great king. God is known in our palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it and saw the marvel. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them. Dear and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As you have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Everlasting establishment. God will establish it forever. He didn't say that the wind did not blow. He said, God is strong and powerful. Who break the ship of Tarshish? If you will remember the ship that was going to Tarshish, God said to Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh and tell them that I am unhappy with their behavior and I'm coming to judge them. And Jonah took the ship, beloved, to Tarshish. Instead, the ship that was going towards Tarshish, instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Joppa. And God destabilized the ship on the ocean. That the merchants who were on board were throwing out everything so that they can keep the ship sailing. And they were panicking. They got to a stage of wondering what has gone on. Beloved, and you and I know that they finally realized that we have a disobedient man in the boat. Jonah said, I am the reason for the problem. Just throw me out. And you and I know that it was the fish that swallowed him up. Beloved, he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Beloved, before he prayed unto God, and God allowed the fish to vomit him, and he was able to go to Nineveh, and God saw that the people repented. Beloved, from what they were planning on doing, from their evil ways, and God restrained himself, showed them mercy, and he didn't destroy the land. Yeah. But you know that it was just a matter of time that Nineveh, because that is the biggest force that can be in their time, all the merchants, they pass through their town. Beloved, trade and transactions, beloved, took place in Nineveh. Jonah was upset. That God, I know this is what you are going to do. You will forgive them. God, give them a chance to put this right, but yet they still fail. But David said, what a strong God you are. You break the ships of Tarshish. Just with an east wind. Who can question this God? He said, everything that we have heard about you, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. You are that Zion of the Most High God. God will establish it forever. God will establish it forever. Everlasting commitment. shall be established. Believe in his prophet. You shall prosper. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. David was now telling us about why God is committed on a long term. When you sign a contract in your office, your commitment and the commitment of your employer is for the duration of that contract. A year, 2 years, 6 months, whatever it is. But I am so glad that God did not wait for me to sign the contract or say, yes, I do, God. The one who had already made my covenant an everlasting commitment to me for life. Why? Because of his loving kindness. Love that goes beyond words. I realize that it is not how long we have been saved or how long we have been in ministry. But I have come to realize that this truth of God's word, when God reminded us of it, you need to take it on board. Many times we don't remember to actually meditate. We think sleep is what you have at the end of the day. It's night time. From the time it's going to 8, 9 o'clock, some people are already rolling on their bed. Whatever anybody says does not matter. It comes to them naturally. They think it is just, that is that normal thing now that I must do now. But thinking godly thought, taking count of the faithfulness of God. God will instruct them after they came out of Egypt. He said, I want you and your children after you to celebrate the Passover year after year. And in the testing, the New Testament, we celebrate it as the covenant, the communion with Christ. He said, do this until I come. The Passover remind them of how God brought them out of 430 years of captivity. In a location in Egypt. How God rescued his people with a strong hand in the hand of the oppressor. But Jesus said, when you do the communion, do this in remembrance of me. But what he said we should remember him for was speaking of sacrifice that he made. The Bible says that when you and I did not yet know him, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were indifferent, when we have no clue, when we were not yet around to say yes to God. So when he said, do this, pass over us the blood of animals. Put upon the lintel of the house whereas the blood of Jesus. said, do this in remembrance of me. Communion that you and I partake of is talking about what he did to establish the everlasting covenant. He said, this do ye in remembrance of me. It takes someone that have good remembrance to have good appreciation skill. So when we took that song this morning, Amazing Grace, as I was walking through, there are people that should be on this altar. I have to go on the dashboard. That I pray to God that God will bring them this morning, because this is their day of visitation. So somebody could be like, you see, I hear my language. Oni jeki akolo loko kwe babe jale. Estamara wants to call Baba. You call Baba and say, Baba, 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 Baba. It was not cheap. But Jesus said, for me to have an everlasting covenant, the blood has to be shed. He said to the disciples to prepare a place in Luke 22 for him to eat the Passover with his disciples, the last meal. Jesus, Son of the Living God, will say to him, stay with me. I don't know why God go through this way. To hear, for you to hear one singular, all I had a singular scripture. That God is going to do this week. And he said to me, he will do it in time. I hear this manifestation, whether it is in 10 places, 10 ways, or in the life of 10 people, I hear 10. One singular word from God. I was ready to go into that word. Heaven was already open and God took me on this direction. That's why I cannot follow what man wants me to follow. I have to do what God wants me to do. Because he will lay a foundation before he build on it. Why? Should God have made me lie down, made me sleep, made me wake up, and he continued to lead me, continued to guide me, approaching the season of the Last Supper. One of the things, the scriptures that I meditate on this morning was in the book of 2 Chronicles. I begin to read it from chapter number 4, chapter number 5, chapter number 6. I was calling a question. I just want to know why Solomon has to do so much that he did as to spend and give the best unto the Lord. I want to know why he used the worthy portion. Not lent sacrifice. Because in the middle of the night, as I was praying with somebody, God begins to talk about unacceptable sacrifice, unacceptable service, unacceptable deeds. And beloved, and it took me to the book of Malachi chapter number 1. If you would like, you will write the scriptures down. The Lord begins to show me
Seeth the Lord of hosts.
but you have profaned it in that you said, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even its meat, is contemptible. You said, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering, should I accept this of your hand, said the Lord. But look, he said, for cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male, and vowed and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupting. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. God begin to help me to see, it's not what man gives only, is the thought and the imagination in the heart of men that make their giving to be unacceptable, that make their sacrifice, beloved, to not to go to God as an incense that is acceptable. It makes the work of the hands of man unacceptable. Why? Because they think God does not deserve the best. The best that we give to another man, an employer somewhere, who could not have employed us if we don't have life. Beloved, as the giver of life, if you cannot wake up, no employer can employ you. The one that made me to sleep, the one that wake me up morning by morning, the one beloved that has to be honored is the Almighty God. He said there is an everlasting covenant. Then while other blocks are offering unto God, in the book of Malachi, the broken, the battered, the busted, what they did was they closed their heaven. These are the preceding. It's not that they were not given. They were not serving. It's not that they were not doing the what is considered the activities of the temple, but what they were doing was unacceptable. That made me afraid, because God wants to point us in the direction. When you are talking about the priests, they are prayer people. He said, what they brought me, they said, it is okay. He said, you dishonor my name with your action by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's temple. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my commands. Beloved, they turn off their attention from obeying the precept of the word of God. They said, okay, God cannot see. They treated God with disdain. They brought what they've taken out of robbery, and the lame and the sick animals. He said, you bring it as an offering. How can I receive that from your hand? with pleasure. What was meant to be a blessing, because they offered what has blemished, deceased, broken, battered, God said, you disrespect me, and God was unpleased with the people. And God started a journey by looking at those that he loves. He begins to treat them, begin to walk. But when you look into 2 Chronicles chapter number 4, you can read it in your own time. Chapter number 4, you see the details of what Solomon used in building the temple of the Lord. They are precious things. He built with quality, not just quantity. He built to specificity. He built according to the specification. He built carefully. He built on the basis of God's instruction. He followed the divine instruction. He built, beloved, not following his own mindset. Yes, he built according to pattern. He didn't say, I'm a subject matter expert. Like I said, this church yesterday, God gave a pattern. He told Moses, he said, build according to the pattern that I show unto you. He said, I have chosen the Bezaliah and the Aaron. That they were subject matter experts. He said, they will build according to the pattern that I have shown to you. I have put inside of them a wise heart and the heart of wisdom. They will be leaders of leaders, but they will build according to pattern. David could not have built the temple in Jerusalem. He gathered the stuff. He handed it over to Solomon. He said, build. I want to do this for my lover. He said, it is my son that will do it. These are the materials. Then go and effect it. And he built to specificity. There is one that came from the lineage of David. It's called Christ the Lord. He secured the materials, everything that we need to build. He built through us because he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he released the specificity on how our life should be framed, how our life should be formed, what ways and what manner our life, what path it's supposed to take. And we can't build it by ourselves, by our own mental intelligence. Those men, they said that they were experts at their job. They lived. They were keyed in. They were being envisioned with the vision of God. Stay with me. The prayer only this morning is only about 7 prayer points. But if you pray and you don't have a foundation, you can't have an understanding. Because the prayer is for establishment, and what will prosper, that is, will deliver its result without fear. I hear it. I saw it. Actually, there are names that I also had also. There's a personality I have called a number of times this morning, and I'm looking at the dashboard. That person is still not here. Sleep has taken them. May God help me to release them in the name of Jesus. Let that sleep be broken over their eyes this morning. Beloved, every item is built to the minute detail of what God wants them to do, including the art, the instrument of worship, including the instrument that remind them of the covenant that God made unto Moses. Everything was done in order, orderliness. I don't know about other people. I can't just stand it. When beloved, there is this orderliness. He followed God's instruction without trying to do it his own way. So you wonder how the cloud filled that temple. Beloved, you wonder how God showed up when he finished the furnishing. He finished the first furnishing in chapter number 5. He brought all the gifts his father David has dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the various articles. He stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. He brought the ark that represents God's commitment to his word. He assembled all the people together. The priest left the holy place. All the priests who were present have purified themselves, whether they were on duty or not. And the Levites who were musicians, all their sons and their brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. And the trumpeters and the singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They praised their voices and praised the Lord with this word: He is good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not continue their services because the cloud of the Lord, for the glory of presence of the Lord, filled the temple of God. He finished the furnishing. Men were praising. He brought in the gift. Everyone took their position, purified. They offered their best in service and in worship. They didn't offer lame worship. They didn't offer lame singing. They didn't offer lame trumpets. Every one of them were already an acceptable manner and got God's result. They offered their best in God's way. They offered their best in unison. They offered their best and made a sound that was heard in heaven. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. Here, when you eat that communion, beloved, Jesus was saying, I cannot read the whole thing to you in Luke chapter 22, verse from number 7. Jesus said, prepare for me a place, because you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And the end said to the owner, where is the guest room? Why? I want to eat the Passover lamb. Passover meal with my disciples. That man has an upper room which was already set up. Jesus said, in that upper room, prepare for me our meal, celebrating Passover. The ark that was placed in the temple of Jerusalem, that ark beloved as we did it the instructions of God that he gave unto Moses. That ark of covenant of the Lord was presented, reminding them of God's commitment, everlasting commitment with his people. Beloved, they remember the Passover. They were expressing, this is saying, this is a reality of God's presence with his people. Jesus said, a room is prepared. There's an upper room. He said, prepare for me Passover meal there. Celebration of the rescue of God's people from bondage. He said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the wine in his hand, verse 17. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, agreement confirmed by my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here, at this table sitting among you as a friend, is the man who will betray me. Notwithstanding, he said this blood was a piece of God's commitment, God's covenant. A piece of God agreement. That speaks of God's faithfulness. This blood speaks of God's kindness to human beings. This blood speaks of a confirmed commitment of God towards us. And so, beloved, when you and I were instructed by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, so this blood and his body was speaking of sacrifice. Anything that God considers lame, they are blemish. They are things that are not up to standard. They are things that were unacceptable. I begin to learn how God taught me to deal with kids. If you can't do certain things in school, how dare you come and do it in church? If you are not all over the place in school and they put you to sit, you come into your classroom, time of break, you have a break, time of studies, you sit down. How dare you all over the place? In the house of God, and we excuse it. The kids are depending on us to get it right. Jesus said, tell that man that you meet with the preacher. Where is the room that is prepared for me to have a Passover meal with my people? That was the last moment, the last meal. The man prepared an upper room. He said, I put you in the basement somewhere. Why the upper room? He created an upper room in the house. The upper room is like the best place in the house, in any house at that time. That's why the Shunammite woman gave Elijah an opportunity to use the upper room in her house. He didn't know he was getting herself ready to be proved to be fruitful. He escaped. She escaped, beloved, childlessness, because he made room for God. That is why you and I have to have seen in the life of Solomon that we just saw now. He calmed the best unto God. To the minute detail, they did a good job, because, beloved, there is yet coming a Savior who has to make himself a sacrifice. Solomon gave his best, and God's presence came down. God commits to his own people. The best of God was given as an offering. And that is why the word of the Lord told us about this best offering. in Christ Jesus. The priest prepared themselves, beloved. They made themselves holy unto the Lord, whether they were serving or they were not serving. But they separated themselves unto God. And look at the Son of God. Beloved, who stood as that perfect sacrifice for you and for me? Our Savior. Peter was instructing us verse 14, you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your own ways of living to satisfy your own desires. That is what they were doing in Malachi chapter number 1. They said it is okay, we can do it to the house of the Lord. The temple is polluted. Who polluted it? They are the ones that polluted. But beloved, Christ came to remove all the pollution, the defilement. And he's not going to take cheap things from us. Cheap service, cheap worship, cheap relationship with God. David said, I will not give to God what does not cost me. I will not give to God. I will not give to God what cost me nothing. If it doesn't cost you, what's the point? Even when it was presented to him cheap, he said, no. You want to access heaven. You want the glory to come. You want to see the enlargement. You want to see the blessing indeed. Beloved, it is not cheap. Christ paid the price for us. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. But the scripture says, you must be holy. Because I am holy. You can't do it your way and get God's result. My way, God says, or no way at all. My way and get my results. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with us, because his way is the way that brings his presence. In our life continually. So the word of the Lord says, don't slip back into your own ways of living, satisfying your own desires. You didn't know any better then. That was in the past. But now you must be holy in everything that you do, just as God who chose you is holy. How must you be holy? How can you be holy in everything that you do? Because everything that we do is not beloved unto ourselves. Everything that we do in the light of God's word that is said, Lord, it is in your way and according to your prescription. According, let my life be furnished according to your way, according to what you have ordained. It said, for the scripture says, you must be holy. Because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. the honor that you have towards God in anything that we do for Him. I said to somebody yesterday, and the personality, I said to him, later, how old are you? He said, he was 18 years old in January in church. January 17, he was 80. January 17 was 80. I came to church and get up in the middle of the service and sit down, sir. Sit down. God is here. Sit down. This one has not finished. Sit down. He sat down. I said, if I don't tell you to sit down, I hurt you. And it means that I hate you. God is to be feared, is to be honored. When it was time to pray, even the one that says, I don't want Christ before, you can hear his voice calling the name of Jesus. Because God was in his temple, they knew who they came to. In the time of Solomon, how about us now? God told me he wants to do something. I saw the word. I heard the word. But the process to getting what God wants to do this week done is our reverential fear of God. Holiness, beloved, is not the long rope. Holiness does not mean you live without putting your makeup on. Holiness, you can even wear the wrong robe, and internally you are wrong in your disposition towards God. You can serve in the church, and you do not reference God. You do not agree with the word of God. Old man, I said, what is the meaning of humility? I don't know. I was asking me, what about Muslim? I said, that is for another service. In this service, we go in the direction that God wants us to take. But hear me this morning. Other blocks might have thought that is really harsh. That is really tough. The word of the Lord says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Love, speak the truth. Love is not cunning. Love is not, beloved, a drama. Love is a real action that speaks the truth, and that truth is proclaiming Christ, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the standard of the word of God, proclaiming the honor of God, proclaiming the respect of God. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, tell the people to sit down, order. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He lifted it up unto God and he gave thanks and he blessed it. He said, give it. The blessings were flowing. The food never gets exhausted. They were left over because the honor of God was in that place. Peter told us that the one who made himself a sacrifice to give you an access, beloved, to open heaven, to give us an access, beloved, to the blessings of God, to give us an access to everything that must take place this week. He said, I am holy. Be holy. And he said, what does it mean to be holy? What a secret. He exposed to us, beloved. He said, God must live in reverent fear of the law. Because the act of holiness is the expression of where our love lies if and who is God in our life. Fear Him. Beloved, it is a secret. Psalm 25 verse 14. The secret of the Lord belongs to those who fear Him. When you don't fear, I told that man, I said, if you can go to number 10 Danny Street, and you go there, you say, I want to see the Prime Minister. You follow the protocol. You can't stand in number 10 Danny Street and then do what you like. But we stand before the God, the maker of the heaven and the earth, and that is when you are itching. That is where you are all over the place. That is where we are rolling our eyes. That is where we cause a lot of distraction. That is where we dishonor God. And you want that God out. Oh, do you get it? The fear of God will speak of obedience to God. When you fear God, you will obey Him. When you fear God, you will do His will. When you fear God, you will wait on Him. When you fear God, you will lean on Him, not on yourself. The word of His instruction, beloved, becomes important to you and I. Why? Because we fear Him. Are we doing God a favor? Absolutely, we are doing ourselves a favor. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is Christ. And the same Christ belongeth power. Beloved, the fear of God gave us access to all that is in the hand of the law. You want to know the secrets of God? Fear Him. You want to walk perpetually under open heaven? It's not a negative fear. It is a fear that obeys Him. It gives us access to the unlimited blessing of God. And beloved, it prevents us from becoming a casualty of causes. What Christ has broken, why should we continue to walk in it? Accessing the secret of God, what was hidden to others, become plain before us. What lies in darkness will become light before you. Beloved, God agitates the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. Beloved, he makes known to your eyes the mysteries of his will. When we fear God, beloved, we will not soil our garments. We lean on him. When you fear God, you have answers. Even with what can make the little in your hand to become plenty, it's called the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 24. Both to the Jews and the Gentiles, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. So even before Christ came, we can see Jesus as our only rescue. Even in the book of Malachi, when people were offering lamb offering, and beloved, because it takes the one who can offer the perfect sacrifice, as God said to Abraham, he said, I am God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. To be thou perfect means to be thou holy. And I will walk before me. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be perfect. Walk before me. God came unto Abraham in the book of Genesis, chapter number 17. So if I can correct an 80-year-old man and the little me that beloved just got above his age, I don't stand for myself, I stand for the law. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. You want to access the exceeding great promises of God. You want, beloved, to have what you could not have by your own mental sense. And you want to access what belongs to God. You want to walk in the supernatural. You want to walk, beloved, and see the realities of what God can do in that walk. Before me. With integrity, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Walk before me. Knowing that you are always in my presence and be blameless and complete in obedience to me. The fear of the law. If God could make that demand in Abraham, he's making a demand on us today. He said, I will establish my covenant, everlasting covenant, and I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants. And Abraham fell on his face, and God spoke with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. As a result, you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, the father of multitude. For I will make make you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, moving from place to place, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession of property, and I will be their God. As for you, Abraham, your part of the agreement you shall keep and faithfully obey the terms of my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is the sign of my covenant, which you shall keep faithfully between me and you and your descendants after you. And he begins to talk about circumcision, which is also the removal of the outer skin. Beloved, when there is circumcision, there is blood. He said, let this be a talking of the covenant between me and you, that every child at the end days they become a male. If they are male, they go and go through that sacrifice, that circumcision. But beloved, look at you and let us think deeply this morning. Jesus that one was fulfilled in him in 1 Peter. He became our Redeemer because he made himself a perfect sacrifice. Beloved, there was no blemish in him. It was that lamb that was offered unto God without any spot, in order to see the establishment of what God is going to do this week in your life and in my life. The word of the Lord said, remember, 1 Peter 1:17, that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Solomon built the temple with corrodible but very, very quality material. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. verse number 5, and you can read it to verse number 9, or verse number 10. Jesus gave his all. Not counting himself as equal with God. The Bible says that is the same attitude. It's not cheap. It is said because Jesus did it, I need to now break the law. It said you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What was the attitude? The attitude of obedience, the attitude of humility, the attitude of total submission, the attitude of holiness, the attitude, beloved, that lean on the Father, that make him to be exalted, to be given a name that is above every other name. The attitude, beloved, that position him to have access that to everything that the Father has. I think it would be good for us to read this scripture in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. It said you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, in his humanity, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, humility, expression of reverential fear of God. You and I can wonder why Jesus said everything that my Father is doing, that is what he showed me. Beloved, because he feared God. He became obedient, even to the obedience of the death of the cross. When you look at Matthew 26, which by now this year you should know now, that was talking about detaching himself from his own personal will to will the will of the Father. A willing to do the will of the Father, governing everything about his life by the will of God, by the word of God, by the instruction of God, by the directives of God. Beloved, the Bible could have said Jesus has done it, you don't need to do it anyway. Then let this same mind be in you. For us to access heaven on earth, that is why I now understand why Jesus Christ was saying, for this purpose he said, are you the king of the Jews? He said, for this purpose I was born. I have lived to proclaim that truth. And when Jesus would say unto Peter, after Peter said, thou art Christ, he said, you've just located the key. As he is John chapter number 14, verse number 12. What did Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. Greater works than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Beloved, he said, I go unto my Father, and he leave me here and leave us here to get on with the work and to do the work. And to do the work, we cannot do it our own way. We have to do it his way. And that way is God's way. The demonstration of love through obedience. He expressed his love for the Father in that he obeyed him. You can't say you love God and not obey God, full stop. So you and I will see what the word of the Lord says. In 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 16. He said, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. That is a negative fear. That love does not have fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. He revealed the love of the Father to us in Luke 22 when he was talking about his departure. He said, Passover that speaks of freedom from slavery, celebration of God's handprint on his people for rescue. He said, your Christ, I am that Passover lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. Beloved, and we saw that Paul begins to tell us beloved in verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians 11, but in following the instructions I cannot press you, for he says, as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have got approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own arms for eating and drinking, doing the mundane things? And what God was against is that they were dishonoring God. They were dishonoring the presence of God. He said, oh, do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to press you? Well, I certainly will not press you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup, of wine after supper, said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until it comes. What you are saying is that, yes, he died for me. I made a call to somebody during the week last week. And that person said, oh, I was in service. Have I sinned against God? I said, I will call back. The person said, oh, the service is finished now. He said, he said to me, that was the communion service. But the moment that person came off the communion service, you will not believe what was coming out of that mouth of the person that was in the communion service. Beloved, this, what we are talking about, the communion is sharing fellowship. It should remind you and I what Christ has done. Covenant was established between Abraham and God, between God and Abraham, and Jesus became the covenant that was established between God and us, the Gentiles. He paid the price. But he said, what he did is to bring us into fellowship, into union, into beloved, into oneness with God, into access of what God has prepared and preordained for us. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you announce the Lord's death until he comes. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the Lord, the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. That sacrifice was an act of worship. That sacrifice that he made on the Calvary was an act of his own service unto the Lord. He said, that is why I'm here. That is what I have come to do. And beloved, he said, if you examine yourself, you will not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we have been disciplined so that we will not condemn, we will not be condemned along with the world. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. What other? Rid yourself of the selfishness. I'm not talking about religious communion. Everybody religiously correct, but lose the efficacy of being one with God. He said, do this until I come. Every time you do it, you are bringing to remembrance what Calvary has done for you. And as part of that covenant, he negated the curses of Malachi chapter number 1. He changed it for blessing. If we will fear and we will honor God, beloved, he alienates the curses and bring you and I into the covenant blessing that God made unto Abraham in Genesis 12, in Genesis 15, in Genesis 13, in Genesis 17. It said, this through Christ has been extended towards you. In that covenant blessing that God made unto Abraham, he talks, beloved, to Abraham on what belongs to God that God will do to man. Galatians 3:13, Christ forsake purchases our freedom and redeem us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hang on a tree, crucified on a cross, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, might also come to the Gentiles, so that we will all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Why is it that the Holy Spirit? Beloved, because that is the presence of God. That is the power of God. That is the executor of the promise. That is the one that manifests the promise that God says unto us he will do. Ephesians 3:20, when he performed, that was the seal of God's manifestation of his promise. When he shows up and he manifests what he has said, the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11, is the quickener. To be quickened means to be revived. When you are quickened, you are made alive. To be quickened means restoration. When you are quickened, you become spiritually alert. The same Holy Spirit, he raised from the dunghill of the dead places of the earth and give us a chance, a comeback, a transformation, a regeneration, beloved, a renewing, beloved, a rekindling of our hope again. That which they thought was dead can rise up again. Why? In that covenant to Abraham, God said, I will increase you. Genesis 17, he changed the name of Abraham from being the Abraham, the exalted one. He said, I will make you numerous and fruitful. In Jesus, he gave him a name that is exalted above every other name, so that you can come into the covenant of fruitfulness, into covenant of exceeding great fruitfulness that exceed our imagination. The covenant of ruling and reigning. Jesus was exalted so that he can pull you up. If you are down, you can't pull anybody on. The one who became a covenant of God to us is the exalted, the great God. That is why when we open that song this morning, amazing grace, how sweet is that sound, that saved a wretch like me. I changed his name. Everything answered to his name. He said, you will no longer be Abraham, but you will be Abraham. Father of multitude. He changed it from being the exalted one. He changed it to become the father of multitude. He said, I will increase you and multiply you greatly, restoring for Abraham the very spoken word that God said from the very beginning. A blessed man, Genesis, beloved, chapter number 2. Actually, we can look at Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. When God made man like himself, he said to him that he made, in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion. Dominion speaks of rulership. Dominion speaks of governorship. Dominion speaks of being in charge. Let them have charge over the fish of the sea, over the fowls, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over all creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his own likeness, he created male and female. He created them. Thank God. He blessed man. He gave them ability to be in charge, just like God was in charge of all things. He blessed them and said, be fruitful. Be fruitful means produce result. Whose result? Is it not God's result? He made them like himself. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Reproduce yourself. Beloved, the one that is being reproduced is are the ones that look like God because they were made in the image of God. Reproduce God kind of man everywhere that you go. What did God say? He said, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth and on the sea. I gave you. What God did in the fruitfulness and multiplication is reproducing God like man. Generation that has God genetic order reproduce God like man. Man that has the gene of God. It says subdue the earth. Fill the earth with such men that look like God. What did he say? He said, here is provision. He gave them provision. I have given you every herb. I have given you. Beloved, who owns the herb? Who planted the herb? Who created the herb? The provision was God's provision. It was sourced in God. And he said, it shall be for you food. Every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, everything that creeps, in which there is life, I have given every green and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So in the evening and the morning, it was the sixth day. Inside of their dominion, inside of the ability to subdue, is embedded, beloved, the protection of God. Because they were the ones that had authority over everything that God had made. He put them in charge. And beloved, so you and I will see that God give authority, give power. If the dominion, it takes somebody that has the right power to rule. Somebody that is given authority that can take charge. Beloved, it takes somebody that has power to have everything to be subjected to them, because the word subdue, beloved, means putting everything under your power, under your control. Psalm number 66, verse 3. The word of the Lord says, through the greatness of your power shall all things be subjected to you. God conveyed in the blessing everything. So when things are subjected to you, you are not afraid of them. They become fearful of you. Beloved, you want to know, everything was brought to Adam. In Genesis chapter number 2, and he named them. Embedded in that declaration is supernatural wisdom. Supernatural intelligence. Embedded in what God gave unto Abraham is the know-how of oppression. Embedded in what God gave unto Adam at the beginning. Because when you look at Abraham, he raised 300 and something servants, and they win war over three nations. Beloved, that is an extreme wisdom and power that makes somebody to raise slaves that can be equipped, well trained, instructed to be able to achieve results. It said, be fruitful. Ever having resolved in everything that you do. If we are not operating at that level, it means that we need to locate God. So all of this that I have said this morning, he only gave me one word. Before I appear in this Zion today, he gave one word. I saw it. I added, there are name mentions to this word, and I pray that it better be your name this morning. The reason why this word is going to deliver as an everlasting covenant is because of what Christ has done. Embedded in that covenant that God spoke unto Abraham, we saw it speaks of covenant that, beloved, blessed, that outlive Abraham. It is said the covenant of mere results in Genesis 17. It changed its name when your name is changed. It said, I remove you from being the exalted one, and I'll call you to become one that is fruitful. what we are talking about. He said you will be in charge of nations. Nations are people. He said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. In Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. In Abraham, he said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will call nations and kings to come out of you. Every act of this blessing, they are what God can do. And he says, I will establish this blessing between me and you. It shall be an everlasting blessing. And the Bible reports that Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Exceedingly fruitful. He was exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was exceedingly fruitful. Stay with me this morning. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Abraham was rich. He was rich in cattle. One singular blessing that God has pronounced over his life. The word of the Lord says, he was rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He has everything. Beloved, over and above. Exceeding simply means over and above. He has substance. God, by divine arrangement, enriched him so much so that the land was not enough to contain him. And a beloved is sharing that land with his brother Lord. The proof of his blessing. Even in the work of his hands. Even in the servants in his house. Genesis 13 told us that. It became a proof of what God said. And beloved, look at God coming to him when Lot was separated to him. He said, look. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. As far as you can see, I will give it unto you. You just need to see it. If you see it, he said, that is what I will give you, because the blessing, the covenant cannot be limited. It has no restraint. As far as you can see, open your eyes. Verse number 15. Genesis 13. Look north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the all that spread out before you, I will give to you and your children forever. I will make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving. Walk through the country, its land and its bread. I am giving it all to you. Was it the one that gets it for himself? God gave him everything that God has. The land that he didn't has tried to defeat them in the book of Exodus. At Exodus chapter number 1, even in the land of slavery, in the land of their trouble, they were still unable to stop them. The covenant was speaking. A new king came who does not know Joseph in Exodus chapter number 1. A new Pharaoh, beloved, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal swiftly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So what did you see? Because they were afraid of this man that carries covenant, whose growth and whose increase, whose fruitfulness cannot be stopped. That was why the Pharaoh said, we better do everything to shrink them. We better do everything to stop their advance. We better do everything to stop their growth. We better do everything to limit them. We better do everything to contain them. We better do everything to keep them in bondage. We better keep them here so that they lose their identity with covenant. But the Bible says, the more they oppress them, the more they multiply and spread. Oppression, beloved, became an instrument, beloved, that promotes them rather than keeping them stagnant. The more the trouble, the more the triumph. The more the oppression, the more the advancement, the more the moving forward, the more the increase. It is the more advancement, the more the increase, the more the progress, the more the moving forward, the more the result, the more the breakthrough. Beloved, that God said this week is going to do. You have not the more oppression. You have not the more affliction. You have not the more stagnation. You have not the more trial and triumph, trial and trouble. You have not the more of pain. Beloved, they made them to level. You have not the more hardship. You have not the more of serving under the wicked, under a slave master. You have known the more of being suppressed. You have known the more of being humiliated. You have known the more of not bearing up, living up to what God has called you to be. You have known the more of the things that you hated. But I want you to know that the more the oppression, the more they were pressing you to a place of increase, the more you must spread, the more your territory must enlarge, the more oppression, the more they were increasing. And they were increasing without limit. And so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and watched them ruthlessly. They made their lives and bitter with ash labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their ash labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. But beloved, I want you to know that everywhere they have worked them, they were still unable to kill covenant. That is the covenant that I brought to you this morning in Christ Jesus. Their owner came and rescued them. When they cry out evil, they were saying, kill their sons. But their owner, who made an everlasting covenant, said, you better let my sons go so that every one of your sons will not die. But their hard taskmaster said no. And God killed in order to make alive. He killed men for them. And for you, beloved, he said in Isaiah 43:4, because I loved you, because you are precious in my sight, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. And on Calvary, he did just that. And that is why your Jabesh will be of fear to yourself. I heard it. Because God answered when they prayed. Jesus has been exalted so that you and I can be fruitful, can flourish, can get the good result, access through our obedience, through our fear of God, the divine secret of God, walk under the open heaven, having access to the presence of God, engaging the divine secret of God that will bring you and I to that place in God that you have never walked in, which is the place of covenant that He gives to us, an everlasting covenant. Beloved, when God arrested people and He bring them your way, God made their Pharaoh to become arrested. And God Himself was the one that made Him to pursue them, even to the Red Sea, so that it can become wasted, and so that God's people can become free for life. God has a good news for somebody. Beloved, and I pray to God that this word of God will find expression in the life of everyone on this altar this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. The descendants of Judah were listed. And it went on and on. If you want to know about Judah, come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 49. Judah, when Judah was born by Leah, that was the one that pacified her and comforted her. When she gave birth to Judah, he said, now I will praise the Lord. He was praised. She was praising her husband and nothing changed for her. She could not bind the love. The man does not love her. Nothing was happening. But here is the word of the Lord. When she came, beloved, to the time of Isaac, Isaac passed on blessing to Jacob. When Jacob was going to bless his own children, when he began to receive blessing, blessing started from the life of Judah. He spoke unto Reuben, he spoke unto Simeon, he spoke unto Levi. Beloved, he spoke curses over their life because the one has slept with his father's children, with his father's concubine. Simeon and Levi, they have shed blood. They have created a mess. And their father said, "You, I will not be with you in your secret place. You don't have my presence." And when he came to Judah, he said, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." God. A man that is mother on and said, Genesis 29 verse 35, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah, and then she stopped having children. It was the same child, Judah, that Jacob began to speak blessing over. He said, Judah, thou art he. Your brothers were praised. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your brother will celebrate you. They will praise you. You will prevail over your enemy. Your father's soul shall bow down for you. It means you are the one that has preeminence. He gave him. He said they will praise you. You will prevail. You will rule over your people. If beloved is said to him, your father's son shall bow down to worship you. They will bow down to you. They will respect you. They will honor you. He said, Jordan, a lion's cub with the prey, my son, you have gone high up the mountain. He swooped down, he crossed like a lion, and like a lion who dares, rouse him. The scepter of royalty shall not depart from Judah. The scepter of rulership. The scepter of reigning. Authority and power shall not depart from Judah, she said. The ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh, the Messiah, the peaceful one comes until Christ comes, and to him shall be the obedience of all the people. We're talking about the blessing upon Judah. It said others will bow down to you. You will rule. You have the dominion mandate again. It said time is falls to the strong vine, and his donkey's coat to the choice vine. He washes his clothing in wine, because grape wine produces abundantly, and is robed in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker and sparkle more than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Beloved, he begins to speak deep blessings upon a Judah. When you praise God, you won't praise the enemy of God. When you praise God, beloved, man will praise you. They will celebrate you. They will honor you. They will give to you, beloved, what they can only give to God. But beloved, I want you to know the part of the generation of Judah, beloved, was Jabesh. Jabesh was a better man than his brothers, a man of honor, because that was what was pronounced over Judah, his father. Man, we honor you. But his mother said, the pain has been much. And then in Jabesh, the more the pain. Until Judah turned his own story around, beloved, until Jabesh cried out unto the Lord. And what did Jabesh did? Jabesh cried and said to the Lord, bless me, oh, bless me indeed. Give me land, large track does he ask? It is the manifestation of the covenant blessing that God has spoken over Judah. One man among the least that his name made him to become a victim rather than a victor. His name made him, beloved, to be dishonored rather than be honored. His name made him to experience pain rather than prevailing. His name made him to be despised rather than to be praised. His name made him to be ruled over rather than to take the place of rulership. His name bring him into subjection rather than everything be subjected to him. His name made him to become a man that is unprotected, always walking into trouble, rather, beloved, than being protected. Everything that Jacob has spoken over Judah, they lack their expression in his life. Beloved, you might say, in Christ Jesus, the covenant in Adam, in Abraham, in Isaac, in Jacob, has been released over your life and my life, that speaks of the blessing. In the blessing that speaks through Christ to bring about the restoration, about the reviving, that brings us into protection, that brings us into, beloved, access to the demonstrative love of God to us, that makes us to access what belongs to God, beloved, and that God give unto you and I everything that belongs to him. Beloved, Jabez, share, bless me. I want what belongs to you again, what you have established in my fathers. That is what I must enjoy. That is what I must have. What you have spoken, what generational blessing could give me, take away my pain. That is this week. From today, it begins to happen. I will not lose. I have laid the foundation now. Beloved, I saw verse number 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. That was the only word I saw, and I saw the Lord said, I will do it. This week, I will do it. And look at the reason why it is by covenant it will be done. And that is why we have been on this altar for 3 hours. Because what you get is not just from prayer. Jabesh, wake up to the reality. They was living below the stature, below the covenant. It was living a substandard life that is below the decrees of God. Beloved, Jesus said, as he is, so are we in this world. And in the same Christ, God has given unto us all things that pertains to life and to God. godliness. Why? So that we can become a partaker of his divine nature through Christ. Beloved, so that you and I can deliver sons and daughters, can reproduce the Christ-like people on the face of the earth, so that our life can demonstrate everything that belongs to God. That is what it was saying. The Messiah has come. For Judah, he said, until the Messiah has come. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Until the Messiah come. Christ is that Messiah. He's the one who rode on the donkey to Jerusalem. He said, time is full. The strong vine and his donkey calls to Jerusalem, to the choice vine. He washes his clothing in wine. He's talking about the blood that he shed. Beloved, he's talking about the fellowship, the communion that you and I now have in Christ Jesus. Beloved, that makes us to become a partaker of what the Father has. That must be our experience. What the Father has that only the Father can do by his Spirit. And he called it exceeding great and precious promises of God. Exceeding great and precious promises. That what eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, what is yet to enter into the heart of men that God has prepared for those who love him. Beloved, those who love the Lord, those who love the Lord, those who love him and those who fear him. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So he came. What are the four things that we saw? Beloved, chapter number 4 of 1 Chronicles talk about, he said, give me, bless me. He's asking for covenant blessing. He said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. For Abraham, he said, look north, south, east, and west. As far as you can see, I will give it to you. His father said, your brothers will praise you. You will have rulership over everything. The unlimited platform that God gave unto Abraham, he said, oh, that you will enlarge my territory. How can his territory be enlarged? By having the help of God in the work of his hand. He asked for enlargement of territory. He did ask, beloved. He asked not just for enlargement of territory. He said, I need your presence. Let your hand be with me. I need your presence. I need your power. Let it be with me so that I will not cause pain. Let your hand be with me, beloved. And he said, protect me from all harms. Beloved, when Christ died, he gave all of this. He secured the blessing. That is what you saw in Galatians 3. He broke the cause of pain. Pain is not just physically. There could be internal pain. Painful memories, painful experiences. Pain on the job, pain in the marriage, pain in the church, pain even from our father's house. Psalm number 2, he said, ask of me, and I will give the nations as an inheritance for you, the uttermost part of the earth as your possession. So, beloved, telling us that the issue is that we don't ask because he knew that it was operating below the standard. He asked. Isaiah will begin to speak in Isaiah chapter number 54. Sing, O barren, but you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never labored, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide and do not open. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. How will this come about? By the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will turn with me to the book of Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. The disciples were saying, when do we get it again? We cannot continue to live without beloved standing in our position. Psalm number 8 said, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you have considered him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have placed everything underneath their feet. What was meant to be under our feet is what we were under their feet. So it means what was meant to be afraid of us is what we are afraid of. What was meant to bow to us, we are bowed to them, because we don't remember how to cry for the covenant to make to be made good in our lives. Hear ye the word of the Lord. He spoke to them after resurrection. First of all, number 28 of Matthew in verse 18, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Because for Judah, the Father said, you have the power, you have the presence, you have the prevailing blessing, you have the blessing that makes all things to be subjected to you. And Jesus said, my death that you are remembering as you share fellowship, as you share communion with me, that you are declaring that the blood has been shed for me to access in. It said these that you are remembering, it gives you an access to the all power, all authority that he has obtained for us. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What are the disciples? Raised men like me. And beloved, and Jesus said in Luke number 10, verse 19. Beloved, Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing will injure you. But Jabez will say,